All right, we'll say good morning. Today's daf is daf Yud Tes 19. We are picking up in Mirtzah Hashem on the bottom of Yud Ches Amud Beis 18b, three lines up from the bottom. Our shir today is dedicated by Michael and Linda Elman, Le'ilui Nishmas Chaya Sara Bas David Aaron, Sarah Dubin, Michael's maternal great-grandmother. We hope that on the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an aliyah. So we'll say, again, continuing a little bit on the case that we started yesterday, which is the case of Kulchem. So remember again, in the case of Kulchem, we had a situation where man says to 10 people, all 10 of you go ahead and write the get. So the Shaila, of course, is the fundamental machlokis we had, is what does he mean when he says that? Obviously, he wants all 10 to sign. But all 10 are signing from what perspective? Are they signing from the perspective, ultimately, again, of witnesses? Or are they signing from the perspective of a t'nai, of some type of conditions? This is a machlokas. The Gemara gives another example of this machlokas. So imagine the following situation. Two of the people sign on that day, meaning the date that the get was dated, and the rest of them signed over the course of the next 10 days. So we'll say, so what's the status of such a get? So they came before Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, and what happens? Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi said, So Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says, you know what? You could rely on Rabbi Shimon. Remember, Rabbi Shimon is the one who says that a get muktam is kosher, right? That if it's dated on one date and signed on a different one, that is kosher. So Rabbi Shimon Levi says, look, Rabbi Shimon Levi said, look, l'chatchila, we don't go ahead and hold like Rabbi Shimon, but b'di'eved, when you're stuck, you could pass in like him. So ha'amar Reish Lakish lo hechsher Rabbi Shimon ela la'alter avam mikayim ba'adasar yamin lo, but yet Reish Lakish said, qualified the shita of Rabbi Shimon by saying that what? That even Rabbi Shimon only is makshe, only says the get is kosher if it's done immediately. But I mean, when we say immediately, meaning if it's dated that day and signed that night. But if there's a lag time, if there's a delay, then even Rabbi Shimon agrees that halacha lemaaseh the get is not kosher. To which the Gemara, to which Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says, "Bahi k'Rabbi Yochanan svirale." So Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says that you could rely on Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of Rabbi Shimon b'di'eved. In other words, say Rabbi Yochanan, there was a machlokes in what Rabbi Shimon held. Everyone agrees that Rabbi Shimon holds of nechtav bayom v'nechtam balayla, that if the get is written by day and signed that night, that Rabbi Shimon holds that it's kosher. There's machlokes on the scope of Rabbi Shimon's shita, right? So again, remember, Reish Lakish holds that even Rabbi Shimon only agrees if there's an immediacy, meaning it's written that day and signed that night. Rabbi Yochanan holds that even that Rabbi Shimon actually holds that even if it's signed 10 days later, it's still going to be okay. So Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says that b'di'eved, you could not only rely on the shita of Rabbi Shimon, but you could even rely on the interpretation of Rabbi Yochanan's interpretation of Rabbi Shimon. I b'ham Rabbi Yochanan, shnayim mishum edim v'kulam mishum tenai. But yet Rabbi Yochanan said that what? That when someone, when a husband tells a group of people, kulchem kisu get l'ishti, that two of them are signing as edim, and the rest are signing alts tenai. To which, so again, Rabbi will say, if that's the case, then lemaisa at the end of the day, then the remaining witnesses should be able to sign whenever they want. To which the Gemara answers, "Bahi k'Reish Lakish." So you're like, "Oh, in that respect, he holds like Reish Lakish, namely that when a husband says to a group, Kulcham kisvu get l'ishti, he's asking all of them to sign b'toras edos as witnesses and not simply as tonight." Okay, so we'll say, so what comes out from this sugya again is a fundamental machlokas regarding get muktam, shtar muktam. And again, remember, we saw already in the Shulchan Aruch yesterday that different shtaros are dealt different ways when it comes to shtar muktam. And we also see now another fundamental machlokas in Rav Shimon, that even Rav Shimon, who holds that lemaisa again, a shtar muktam or a get muktam is going to be kosher, machlokes ultimately again, how long this process can actually drag out. And now we've also been introduced to the case of kulchem, all of you, which again we'll see in a couple of weeks, we'll see that case in greater detail, says the Mishnah. But says, now we're going to get into some of the actual details regarding the writing of the get. Bakol kosin, you could write a get with any type of, bakol means with any type of ink we're talking about over here. Namely, bidio. So we'll say dio normally means just regular ink. Sam is paint. Sikra is like a red pigment. Kumos is gum. We'll see again what all of these things mean. Can consume. So we'll say the literal definition of can consume is ferrous sulfate. So again, we'll discuss the common denominator. All you need to know for these things is that these are all permanent inks. That's the point. That these are, when I say permanent, by the way, remember, it doesn't mean it's going to last forever. What it means is it's not something that quickly disappears. It remains embedded on the paper. And that's how the Mishnah says, these items are just simply examples, but in reality, you can go ahead and use anything that leaves a real impression and a real mark. However, in kosim lobamashkin, you can't go ahead and write a get with liquids, meaning literally like drinks, liquids. Velo meperos, not with fruit juice. Velo bechol davar shein lemiskayim. Nor can you write a get with any type of ink that will not last. A la kol kosin. So we'll say, now that we've dealt with the inks, now what about the items upon which you can write a get? So a la kol kosmin, you could write a get on anything. Allah shel zayis literally means a leaf of an olive tree. A leaf of an olive tree. Allah karen shel para, you could write it on the horn of a cow. However, again, v'nosin la es hapara, but you have to give her the cow. Al yad shel eved, similarly, again, you could write, again, we'll discuss the novelty in these cases. You could write the get on the hand of an eved. V'nosin la es ha'eved. And you go ahead and you give her the eved. Rabbi Yosi Aglili Omer, Ein kosvin lo al davar sheyish bo ruach chayim, velo al ha'ochlim. Rabbi Yosi Aglili says, you can't write on anything that is living, anything that's alive, nor can you write the get on any food item. So Rabbi Yosi Aglili obviously is coming to argue on the fact, he disagrees, he says you can't write the get on an eved or on a para or on a cow, or for that matter, you can't write the get on any type of food items as well. Again, we'll discuss exactly all of these cases in the Gemara. So the Gemara begins by giving us just some definitions. Dio, diusa. So we'll say, what the Gemara is doing over here is something that's not very helpful for us, but was helpful for them. They're taking these terms of the Mishnah and just translating them into common vernacular Aramaic so that people know exactly what these items are. So dio is diosa. Sam, Sama, Sikra, Amra Barbachana, Sakarta Shma, Kumus, Kuma, Kan Consume. What is Kan Consume? Amar Rabba Barbachana. So also remember, Kan Consume was the one item that didn't translate directly, you know, perfectly within the Mishnah. So what is Kan Consume? Amra Barbachana, Amar Shmuel, Charta Duushchapi. So also it's interesting. So some say that Kan Consume is what they call shoemaker's blackening. As well say, so a shoemaker would go ahead and dye shoes. So I guess it's not exactly shoe polish. It must be something a little bit more intense, but whatever the shoemakers used to use to blacken the leather. Okay, so we'll say, so the idea is, oh, and remember, these are just examples. And what are the examples of? They're examples of different types of ink that ultimately leave a roshem. And remember, again, you could write the get with any type of ink that ultimately endures. So what does this come to include? So the Gemara says, Hadatani Rebchia, Kasvu b'mei tarya v'afatza kasher. So we'll say, so it comes to include the following case. If you wrote a get with mei tarya, then I will say, so what's mei tarya? Rashi said b'mei tarya, mei gishamim. Now rainwater. Now I will say again, so the Tosfos Rit explains over here that it's not just rainwater, it's dirty rainwater. So the idea of, because rainwater by itself is not going to do anything, but if you have dirty rainwater, so that again could obviously leave an impression. So that would be an example also of another type of ink. I'm calling all of this stuff ink, but you understand what I mean. Another type of ink that would be kasha for a get. Va'afatza, I must say, so we're going to learn a lot about this. We're going to spend a lot of time with this. Afatza is gallnut juice. So we'll say, we're going to see that gallnut juice, gallnuts, of course. Right, they're on sale at 7 Mile, by the way, if you want. Hey, so we're going to see, actually, there's a lot of time that's going to be spent on gallnut juice because it was used, we're going to see, for shtaros in many different ways. Tani Rebchia, kasvu be'iver, we'll say, if they wrote a get, iver, literally, again, is lead. They wrote a get with lead. Now Rashi says over be'iver sheshaf ha'oferes b'may u'mashchirim. So Rashi understands that iver in this case means you go ahead and you soak lead in water, and I guess that water becomes blackened as a result of the immersion of the lead, and then you go ahead and you use that liquid to write. So we're gonna dispute that in just a moment. So be'iver kasu be'iver, if you wrote the get with lead b'shachar, so we'll say shachar is charcoal. Ubishichor, shichor is that what we just called before, charta du'ushchapi, which is the shoemaker's blackening, kosher. So we'll say in all of these cases, ultimately, again, the get, and by the way, we're going to see it's not just get in this ishtaras in general, but we'll call it right now the get is kosher, because all of these are considered to be bona fide forms of writing. Itmar. So we learned Hamavir Diagabe Sikra, but this is a really interesting case. So let's say someone has two letters that are written in Sikra. Remember, what's Sikra? Sikra is red ink. Red ink. Let's say I have two letters written in lead ink, and on Shabbos I go ahead and I write over those letters in black ink. Now remember again, on Shabbos there are two sister malachas. There's the malacha of kosev, of writing, and the malacha of mochek, of erasing. They're sister concepts because they're very similar to one another. The malacha of ksiva is only accomplished if you go ahead and you write two letters. That's the biblical prohibition of ksuva. Rabbinically, if you make any kind of meaningful form on Shabbos that has some degree of permanence, so you're chayi for ksiva, you're chayi for writing, but in daraisa, only if you write two letters. Similarly, again, if you go ahead and you erase two letters, that also you'll be chayiv midaraisa. For erasure, you're also only chayiv if you're erasing with the intention of writing, meaning if you're clearing a surface for the purpose of being able to write, that's the biblical prohibition. But if you're just simply clearing the surface without the intention to write, that's not called biblical mochik. Still rabbinic. So listen to this case. I have two letters written in red ink, and I write over them on Shabbos in black ink. So we'll say, take a look at Rashi. Gabi Sikra, Shtei Osio Shal Sikra, Vehevi Aleim Dio B'Shabbos. I'm writing over the red letters with Dio. Now we'll say, just so you understand, in the hierarchy of inks, so Dio, black ink, is considered to be more chashuv, more important, and also more permanent than red ink. So listen to this. Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, Tarmi Tarvayu, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, both said, Chayiv Shtayim. Rabbi Yochanan, you are chayiv twice for this act. What are you chayiv twice? For Achas Mishum Kosev, once for writing, because you're writing two black letters now, va'achas mishum mochek, and you're also chayiv for what? For erasing the bottom sikra letters. So literally a double whammy over here. You're chayiv again for mechika, for erasing, and you're chayiv for ksiva, for writing.
It's covering it.
It's on top of it.
Instead of erasing.
Correct. Correct. You are obscuring the image. So the Gemara says next, dio agave dio, sikra agave sikra. What happens if you have two letters of dio or two letters of sikra, and you trace over them two letters of dio or two letters of sikra? In that case, pater. But I say that makes sense. Why? Because lemaisa, I haven't done anything, right? I haven't created anything new, and I obviously haven't erased anything old. It's all the same letters. Midrabanan, you're going to be chayv. This is all doraisa. Midrabanan, you'll be chayv for all these things. That's the shear. That's the shear. The shear of the malach of ksiva is two letters. So remember again, you remember this from Shabbos. That's, we get the shear, I'm telling you. Right? That's the shear. That's the shear from Shabbos. Because remember again, the malach of kosev was machlokis, but the malach of kosev comes from the crushing. The halacha was that when they put up the boards of the Mishkan, you had to put up the boards in the same exact places every single time. So how would they know which boards went next to each other? They would letter them. They lettered the boards. So therefore, again, because the point was to be able to know which two boards went next to each other, so therefore the malacha of ksiva is the writing of two letters. Amazing idea. Anyway, so the Mishnah, the Gemara goes on. What's the next case? Dio agabi, sikra agabi dio. But say, so now this is the reverse case. I'm writing sikra, red ink, on top of black ink. Now remember again, we're presupposing over here that the dio is the higher level ink, right? So again, now I'm writing the inferior ink on top of the superior ink. Amr lechayiv, amr lepater. So we'll say, in that case, some say you're chayiv, some say you're pater. Amr lechayiv, mocheku. So we'll say, some say you're chayiv. Why? Because you are erasing the black letters. Amrilei Potter, others say you're Potter. Why? Mekalkilhu. Because they will say that is a destructive act. Since you're taking perfectly good lettering and you're going ahead and destroying it with the red lettering, therefore the mice again that's called Mekalkil. I will say, take a look at Rashi. Rashi says Mekalkilhu, Bahavile Kimochik Amanash Lichtov. Well, the man de Mechayiv lo have a Mekalkil called Kach Shari Kas Savonikar. I will say it's actually very interesting that the Mekalkil in general, we're not going to get into this now too much. But for Hilchos Shabbos, in order to be chai for any malacha, malachos always have to be constructive in nature. If I engage in a destructive act, then lemaisa again, I am not chai midoraisa, and in many cases, I'm not even chai midirabanan. From Kilgul. That's why sometimes when certain things have to be done on Shabbos, if we're able to go ahead and do it in a destructive fashion, it makes it a bit easier. But I just so you should know where this. Well, okay, we're not there. There's a lot to discuss in Shabbos, but I'll finish with that first. So it says the only reason this was brought up, of course, was to show us the fact that Lamaisa, again, although the Mishnah said that these are all permanent inks, namely the Dio and the Sikra, both the Dio, the black ink, as well as the Sikra, the red ink, so but not all inks are created equal. In Halacha, again, and you see if I Hilchos Shabbos, that the Dio occupies a higher level of Chashivos, and that's why, at least according to some, if you start out with two black letters and you put red ink, you write red ink letters over those black letters, at least according to one opinion, you will be putter because it's considered to be a destructive act. The other mandam will say it's mechika, that it's an act of erasing because you're erasing the bottom letters. But interestingly enough, no one calls it kosev. Why doesn't anyone call it kosev? Because the act of putting inferior ink on top of superior ink does not qualify as a constructive act of writing. Baimine. So let's say the Gemara goes weiter. So Reish Lakish asked the following kasha from Rabbi Yochanan. Edim she'en yodim lachtom. Well, so we actually saw this case referenced earlier. If you have witnesses who don't know how to sign the get, they just don't know how to sign. So what happens? So ma she'yichtavu lahem b'sikra, v'yichtavu ksav elyon. So we'll say, listen to this case. Witnesses don't know how to sign, so I have a wonderful etza. I'm going to write their names in red ink. Write their names in red ink, and then what? Red paint. And then they'll go ahead and trace over it in black ink. Now remember, what did we just see from Hilchos Shabbos? We saw from Hilchos Shabbos that if there are two red letters, and you write over it in black ink, one's not halacha, right? You're chayiv, right? Why? Right, I know, it was a 50-50. Right? So what happens? So again, so remember, you're chayiv, why? Because the act of writing in black ink is considered to be a halachically significant act. So the Gemara says, I have a great idea. If you have witnesses who don't know how to sign their names, let me go ahead and write in black ink. And can they go ahead and trace over their names in black ink to create a bona fide ksiva? So the Gemara says, ksav elyon ksav, oino ksav. Does that work or not? Do we say that the upper level of black ink that they're tracing over should be a bona fide ksiva, and that should be a good signature on the get? Amarlei. So remember, this is Reish Lakish answers from Yochanan. Amarlei, eino ksav. So Rabbi Yochanan responded, it doesn't work. Amalei Sreish Lakish says, but one second, Rebbe, v'haloli maratana Rabbeinu, but Rebbe, you taught us, ksav elyon, ksav le'inyan Shabbos, but Rebbe, you just taught us that what? That the halacha is that for Hilchos Shabbos, if you have two red letters and you trace over them in black ink, that you're chayiv. And then not only you're chayiv, but what? You're chayiv twice. Right, you're chayiv once for erasing, which means that the upper ink negates the lower ink, and you're also chayiv for ksiva, for writing. So if it's true by Hilchos Shabbos, why shouldn't it work by Gittin as well? To which Rabbi Yochanan says something absolutely amazing. Amar lei, v'chim ifnei sh'anu medamin na'aseh maisa. Do you think that just because we are making a suggestion that we should act on it? Now, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. V'chim ipnei sh'anu medamin, sh'anu omdim usvurin v'omdin mu'umad libeinu lahachmir. So Rabbi Yochanan says, just because we said that the halacha appears a certain way, do you think that we're going to act on that? What does that mean? Na'aseh ma'isa lahakil, afil le'inyin Shabbos, so we'll say this is amazing. So Rabbi Yochanan says back to Reish Lakish, I want to just tell you something. You know, when I said in Hilchos Shabbos that you're chayiv, I'm talking now that a person would be chayiv, that would be considered to be an act of Shabbos desecration. But let's say in the times of the Beis Hamikdash, if there were to be two red letters and somebody were to write over it in two black letters, would I make a person like that chayiv to bring a carbon in the Beis Hamikdash? I don't know. I don't know. In other words, what Rabbi Yochanan is saying, Abosai, is it's easy to be machmir on things in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash because the stakes aren't high. Right? So I could say that on Hilchos Shabbos, if you have two red letters, you can't trace over them with two black letters because that's considered to be ksiva. Done. Case closed. It's easy to be machmir like that in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, when the Beis HaMikdash stands in Miratz Hashem, remember, if it turns out that I violated Shabbos, that requires the bringing of a karban. To which Rabbi Yochanan says, to Reish Lakish, to be honest, when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, we're going to have to revisit this, because I don't know what will actually paskin le'inyan Hilchos Shabbos when the stakes are high and I have to bring a karban. So even by Hilchos Shabbos, we're machmir here, because again, there's nothing wrong with being machmir here. But now you want to go ahead and apply this same concept to Gittin and allow witnesses to trace over red letters with black ink and to say that that is a bona fide signature, that I'm not prepared to do. So,
etching.
We're going to talk about etching. We're going to talk about that. That's going to be chatochos, chakirechos, barshakivant. We're going to see that. So itmar. So now the Gemara wants to revisit this a little bit. Itmar. So from that exchange, it appears that Rabbi Yochanan would say that if you have witnesses who do not know how to sign the get, so going ahead and tracing or writing their signatures in red ink and having them trace over it in black ink would not work. That's what it sounds like from that last sugya. So the Gemara says, Itmar, let's revisit this a little bit. Edim shen yodin lachtom. If you have witnesses who don't know how to sign the get, Rav Amar Mekar Le Niyachalok Omalan Esakram Dio. So Rav says, okay, we have a very simple idea. We essentially create a stencil for them. Let's create a stencil. Is that the right word? A stencil, right? You make a cutout of the letters of the name and let them fill in. We have a stencil. Let them fill in the blanks. Ushmuel Amar Be'ever. Shmuel says that you can go ahead. Now, this is interesting. Shmuel says that what you can do is you can make almost like an outline. Okay, an outline. So you can make an outline with lead. You can make an outline. In other words, you rub some lead. There's a name for this kind of art. You know where there's a name for it. All right, whatever it is. So the idea is you take the lead and you rub the lead against the paper and you make the outline. You make the outline of the letters with the lead. So the Gemara says, both seem to be seeing the same idea. Rav just says, we're not writing anything. We just make stencils and let the Edim fill in the stencils. Shmuel seems to be saying, we literally make an outline of the letters with lead. A little bit of a rubbing of the lead on the paper. And again, the Edim could fill that in. Be'ever sakadaita? Really? With lead? V'hatani Reb Chiya, kasu be'ever b'shachar b'shecha kasher. Bosi, we just said before that what? That if you write with lead, lead is what? Lead is a bona fide form of ink. So Bosi, see, here's the problem. If you're writing the names of the witnesses with lead, and they are tracing over it, Bosi, that doesn't work. Why? Because the writing with lead itself is a bona fide ksiva. Remember, the stencils work because stencils aren't ksiva. They're filling in the outlines of the stencil. That's fine. But to actually write their names in lead and have them trace over that, the first person who's doing it with the lead is the one who's actually doing the writing. So lokash, it's not a contradiction. Haba avra, haba ma'id avra. So we'll say, listen to this. It depends. So what's when the Brisa says that if you write with lead, that's real writing, that's what Rashi said before. That's when you soak the lead in water and you use that mixture to write. That's what leaves a real writing. But if you take a little piece of lead and you rub it against the paper and you use those rubbings to go ahead and create an outline of a letter, that's fine because that's not considered to be a bona fide act of writing. Rabbi Avo says, B'mei Milin. Rashi says, B'mei Milin. Mayim Shashar Ban Afatzim Shechukim. But we're back to the Golnuts. Everything, all roads lead back to Golnuts. So we'll say, so remember again, another way that you could create an outline for the witnesses is to go ahead and take crushed Golnuts, go ahead and soak them in water, and that concoction, you go ahead and you create an outline. The idea over here is, what you want to be able to do for the witnesses is to allow them to essentially trace their signature. But what you have over there for the tracing cannot itself be considered to be writing. So I will say that's why, again, That's why Rav's approach, it seems to be the easiest one. The stencil one seems to be the best. But sometimes you don't have a stencil available. So in the absence of that, the idea the Gemara is saying is somebody could trace the signatures of the witnesses, but that tracing itself can't be considered a bona fide form of writing. Here's the problem. Even using that gallnut concoction, right? That water in which gallnuts are soaked, again, should be problematic as well, because Rabbi Chanina said that if you wrote a get with meitaria, remember that's the dirty rainwater, va'afatza, afatza is gallnut juice, right? Water that gallnuts are soaked in, that it's kasha, which tells me that what? That the gallnut juice is itself a bona fide form of ink. So how can you use that then to trace? How can you use that to trace the signatures of the witnesses? Lo kasha, hada afitz, hada lo afitz. Oh, Rabbi say here's, and this is also going to be quite interesting, it depends. If you go ahead, Rabbi say we're going to see that often they used to treat parchments with gallnut juice. Now, the reason they used to do that was because once it's treated with gallnut juice, any erasures become immediately visible. So essentially, they would treat it with gallnut juice after the shtar was finished, so that again, it made the shtar tamper-proof. So Rabbi say, so if you treat the shtar with gallnut juice, then enachinami, so the gallnut ink will not show up. But if you don't treat it with gallnut juice, then what? Then the gallnut ink will show up. So the Gemara says the following, she'in meimilin agabi meimilin, because ultimately, again, gallnut juice doesn't appear on top of gallnut juice. Fine. Rapapa amar brok. So also Rapapa says another easy way to go ahead and create an outline for the witness's signature is with saliva. This is not for the germophobes, right? So what happens? So you go ahead and essentially with saliva, you create an out. Remember, so all we're trying to do over here is, remember we're trying to accomplish, the witnesses don't know how to sign. So we're looking to create an outline of their names, but I can only create an outline of their names with something that itself is not going to be an active form of ksiv or a bona fide form of ink or of writing. So v'chein uri le'raf papa le'papa Torah b'rok, so to Rav Papa instructed Papa the Torah. Torah is like a cattle dealer. So he said to the cattle dealer, Baruch, you can outline the signatures of the witnesses for them with saliva. V'hani mili begin. But I will say this only applies with gittin. Aval b'shtar aslo. I will say now what only applies with gittin? This idea that you could use witnesses who do not know how to sign their names. People say, if you think about this, by the way, this is totally illogical. Because, right, you would think for a shtar, part of the way that we go ahead and we validate, not part of the way, the way we validate the shtar is with the signatures of the witnesses. So we want to let the witnesses understand what it is that's going on over here. Persons totally illiterate to the point that they're not able to read, they're not able to write, I would think that disqualifies a person from ultimately signing the shtar, to which the Gemara says over here, just know this whole leniency of being able to use witnesses who don't know how to sign is only a din by gittin, but doesn't apply to other shtaros. Dahu da'avid of the bishar shtaros, because there was someone who tried this with other shtaros, v'nagdei Rav Kahana, and Rav Kahana flogged him. Right? The idea is this leniency does not apply with other shtaros. Rashi says, before you turn the page, last Rashi on the page of al-bishar shtaros, yachzer achar ha'edim b'kiyim lachtom. You have to find witnesses who actually know how to sign. Amud Beis. Tanya Kavase Dirav. So I'll say we have a Braisa that supports Rav. Everybody that supports Rav. Rashi says, Gomer Makara Lehenyar. But remember again, Rav was of the opinion that Lamaisa, if you have witnesses who do not know how to sign on the shtar, so Halacha Lamaisa, you could create a stencil for them and they could sign like that. So what's the Braisa? Adim Shen Yodim Lachton, witnesses who do not know how to sign their names. Mikarin Lahaniyar Chalak Umimalin Esakroim Dio. We go ahead and we create for them a stencil. Literally, we tear out, we create for them a stencil, and they could fill in their names. Amar Shimon Gamliel Medar, when is this true? Bigite Noshin. Rabbi said, this leniency is only true by Gite Noshin, by get. Aval B'shechruy Avodim Ushar Kol Ashtaros. But Rabbi said, by documents of emancipation and all other documents, im yodim likros v'lachtom chosmin, if the witnesses know how to read the shtar and how to sign their names, they can sign. Ve'im lav ein chosmin, and if not, they can't sign. So Rabbi said, listen to what the Gemara is adding in over here. So the Braisa says, by other shtaros, Rabbi said, you need two things, which is what? You need literacy, you need to be able to read the shtar, and you need to be able to sign. It's only by getting where there's this leniency that if you don't know how to sign, we help the Edim sign. So he says, first of all, kriya man dikar shmei. This is interesting because what did the Braisa just slide in here? The Braisa just slid in here reading. We're not talking. Where did reading ever come from? This whole time, what we're talking about over here is what is witnesses who know how to sign their names. Never have we spoken about reading. So why is reading brought up? To which the Gemara says, the truth is, the Braisa was deficient. The Braisa wasn't complete, but here's how you have to read it. Edim she'en yodin likros. Witnesses who do not know how to read. Korin lifnehem. So ultimately, again, we read the document from the Rabbosai. This is going to be our next sugya, by the way, about reading the document, either the witnesses reading the document or reading the document to them. So witnesses who do not know how to read, we read the document to them, the chosmen, and they go ahead and they sign their names. V'she'in yodim lachtom. But Rabbosai, if they don't know how to sign their names, then what? Then Lamaisa, that's when Rav's suggestion comes up, that we create for them a stencil, and they could go ahead and fill in the stencil and sign their names like that. When do we have this leniency? That if the witnesses don't know how to sign, we could create the stencil for them. That's only true with Gittin, Rabbosai. Rabbosai, when it comes to all of the types of shtaros, if the witnesses know how to read the document and how to sign the document, then fine, they could sign. But if they don't know how to read the document and how to sign their names, then what? Ain chosmin. Which Rabbi say, if you think about it, is logical. You can't sign your name to something if you don't know what the document says. And furthermore, again, you shouldn't be able to serve as a witness if you don't know how to sign your name. So why? Why is there a leniency by Gittin? Right? What's the pshat over here? So why is it, if you think about it, it sounds even like a little bit reckless. How can you allow for witnesses who don't know how to read, who don't know how to write, to sign on documents and ultimately authenticate the document? So I'm going to tell you why. Shelo yu benos Yisrael agunos. That Rabbi say ultimately again that Jewish women shouldn't be agunos. Rabbi say, you know, you have to understand something, and this will come out as we get into this mesechta. There are certain parts of the get system that we cannot change, right? You can't mean there's this. By the way, is a good muster in halacha as well. You know, sometimes we think that because things seem to be quote unquote unfair, that it's our job to change them. That's not true. Just because I think something is unfair or it looks unfair, society tells me it's unfair, doesn't mean it's unfair. This is Yibarul Shalom's Torah. So there are certain things that they are what they are. That being said, when we have the ability to be able to make, to create a system that is quote-unquote friendlier or better or more accommodating, then certainly we always try to do that to the best of our ability. So this is amazing. Chazal already understood that the whole get process poses challenges. There's no shaila about that. We know that. It's Maisim L'Chalim, unfortunately, that it poses challenges. Some of those challenges simply are the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu constructed it for whatever the reason. But whenever we have the ability to make the system a little bit more accommodating, then certainly we will do so. So Shimon Gamliel says, I know what the laws of testimony are, but we need to relax the laws whenever we can, to whatever degree we can, in order to prevent the aguna problem. Therefore, when it comes to regular shtaros, you know, the bar for witnesses is here. When it comes to gin, it's here. In order that what? Because it was like, sometimes you could have a situation, it was like, you have to understand why these accommodations are made, because there are circumstances where the husband finally agrees to give a get. And what happens? If now you need to start looking for, you know, people who are art scroll biography worthy to be the, you know, to be the witnesses on the shtar, you're going to get into serious trouble. Therefore, again, we want to be able to create a system where if the husband is willing to give the get, you can pretty much get anyone. You can get anyone to be able to sign on the shtar, even if they're pashut amiratsim, that they don't even know how to read or how to sign their names. We can create, we have our stencil with us, they can sign their names, and gamarnu.
Same true for ksuvos? Like, how many witnesses?
Ksuvos different. There's no need to really go, no. So the answer is no. The answer is that by ksuva, if a person doesn't know what they're signing, and a person doesn't know how to sign their name, then we should not have them sign. Now, if you did end up using witnesses like that, technically, as long as they're, as long as they are upstanding individuals, technically, it ex post facto, it works, but l'chatchila, we wouldn't do it. And the logic, there's a logic, because ksuva, there's no extenuating ksuvas. As long as they're remaining ksuvas, right? There's no need to relax the system of eidos by ksuva like there is by get. So the Gemara goes weiter. So Amar Rava, Rava says, Halacha k'Rav Shimon Gamliel. I will say, so the halacha follows Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Ultimately, who says that this kula by witnesses is a din again. And this is indeed how he passed in halacha lemaisa, that even if the witnesses don't know how to read, even if the witnesses don't know how to sign their names, we create the stencils for them. Well, it's machlokas, what mechanism we use, but the point is we can go ahead and outline their names for them, either through stencils or through something else, and they can serve as witnesses on the get, and it's all mishum iguna akilu barabanan. All in order to be able to prevent agunas, chazal, or mekalovia. Rav Gamda mishmei de Rava Amar, ein halacha. So I'll say, this is interesting. Rav Gam, the name of Rava, said, no, the halacha does not follow Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav said, now what does it mean the halacha doesn't follow Rav Shimon Gamliel? Rav Shimon Gamliel was the one who said that this leniency only applies to Gittin, but doesn't apply to other shtaros. Rav Gamda is arguing the name of Rav, and he says, no, the halacha doesn't follow Rav Shimon Gamliel, rather the elokiman ki rabbanon. How's like the rabbanon? Rav say, the Gemara is positing over here that the rabbanon actually hold that this leniency is not limited to Gittin, but it applies to all shtaros. It applies to all shtaros. So we'll say, so Rav Gamda is coming to actually be more makel. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, I'm makel, but the kula is only by Gittin, not by other shtaros. Rav Gamda is saying, no, the kula is by everything. So the Gemara says, listen to this. But 1 second, the Gemara just told the story at the end of Amud Aleph, that's what, about the guy who went ahead and conducted himself this way with other shtaros, and what happened? The Nagde Rav Kahana, and Rav Kahana flogged him. Right? So we'll say, that would seem to indicate that what? That Lamaisa, this is not a good approach by other shtaros. So the Gemara says, so tirgima akriya. So look at Rashi, tirgima lahad Rav Gamda. So when Rav Gamda says that the halacha follows the Rabbanon, he meant by kriya. What does it mean, Rashi? Akriya, shim yodin lachtom afa pishen yodim likros shapir dami v'karu kamayhu achrini kirabbanon. Udrav kana b'she'en yodin lachtom. So let's listen to this. What Rav Gamda really meant to say was the following. According to Rav Shimon Gamliel, the halacha is that when it comes to Gittin, even if he can't write, and even if he can't read, we'll create the stencil, and you could go ahead and sign like that, but by other shtaros, you must know how to read and write. Rav Gamda comes along and says, by other shtaros, no. You just have to know how to write. It's true. By other shtaros, you have to know how to sign your name, but even if you don't know how to read, you could still be a good aide. Aye, how can you sign on something if you don't know how to read? And the answer is, you could rely on someone else reading it to you. So the Gemara says, is that really true? Akriya Rabbi, excuse me, I'm sorry, Rabbi Yehuda mitzar kari v'chasim. But I will say, what about Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda was, Rashi says, zakin haya ve'inov kaos. He was old, and his vision was very poor. And what happened? Mitzar v'kari. Whenever he would sign on something, he would always strain himself to be able to read the document. Now, Rav Gamda, if you're correct, that's what? That Lamaisa, again, even when it comes to other shtaros, you just have to know how to sign your name, you don't have to know how to read, and you can rely on someone else reading it to you. So why did Rav Yehuda, why was he mitzar himself to such a great degree to be able to go ahead and read the shtar? So the Gemara says, Amar lei Ula lo tzrichas. And Ula said to him, Rav Yehuda, this is not necessary. You don't have to strain yourself to such a great degree. Why? Taha Rebbe Lazar Mara Deretz Yisrael. So I'll say, listen to this statement. Because Rebbe Lazar, who was like the, he was the master of Eretz Yisrael. Imagine that title, Mara Deretz Yisrael. He was the Mara De'asra, right? He was the Rav of Eretz Yisrael. Kari Kameh V'chasim. Rebbe Lazar, when he used to sign on a shtar, he wouldn't go ahead and read the document itself. Rather, he would have someone read the document to him, and he would sign based on that. So Rabbi Yehuda, you don't have to strain your eyes to be able to see the document. Rav Nachman karu kamei safri daini v'chasim. Similarly, Rav Nachman would have his scribes read the document before him, and he would sign based on that. So what do you see over here? You see over here that Lamaisa, again, you don't have to read the shtar yourself, but rather, even if the shtar is read to you, that's enough. But the Gemara says, 1 second, that's not really a good example, but Dafka Rav Nachman v'safri daini. But the truth is, Rav Nachman, you have to understand, Rav Nachman was a dayan, he was the judge, and he was also the son-in-law of the Nasi, and he was appointed by the Reish Galus. In other words, he was an exceptionally important individual. Therefore, the Gemara says, it's only Rav Kahana who could rely on the on someone else reading him the shtar, and dafka for talking about his own scribes that are reading him the shtar. Why? The islu imsa, because I will say first of all again, dafka Rav Kahana v'safri dani islu imsa. So we'll say first of all again, Rav Kahana, nobody's going to lie to Rav Kahana. In other words, there was an ema, there was a fear of Rav Kahana, because first of all, it was a dayon, he was a son-in-law of the nasi, and he was appointed by the Reish Galusa. And furthermore, again, we're talking about his own scribes who had a fear of him. But it's possible that, again, I will say any other combination, either of Nachman and other scribes who are not in his, who are not employed by him, or someone other than Rav Nachman, perhaps again cannot rely on the reading of someone else, because lemaisa, again, it could be that that ema, that fear, is not there. Rav Papa ki hava asi lekame shtara parsa David bar koshal kusim. Rav Papa. Rav Papa will say, when there would be a shtar that would ultimately come from our coast, from Gentile courts, mikri luhu lishnei kusim zeshalo b'fneze. So Rav Papa say he would have the shtar read for him by two different kusim. In this context, kusim means non-Jews. One not in the presence of the other. Rav Papa say, so interestingly enough, Rav Papa would rely on someone else reading him the shtar, but he would require two people to read him the shtar. And he would require them to read them the shtar, not in the presence of the other. B'masiach lefi tumo. And I will say again, the reading just had to be without them realizing why he was asking them to read the shtar. In other words, that he needed independent verification. So here's what's interesting. He would rely on the reading of other people, but he would require two people to read it, not in the independently, and not even realizing why it was that he was asking them to read the shtar. And based on that, based on their readings, umagvi beim mishabadi, he would allow the document, he would allow the person who held the document to go ahead and collect from encumbered properties. Amar Rav Ashi, Amar Rafuna bar Nasan, Hachi Amar Ameimar, this is what Ameimar said, Hai shtar parsa dechasim yaleisadi Yisrael. So this shtar, both say shtar parsa, literally means a shtar that is written in Persian. We actually had this case before. A shtar that's written in Persian, that Jewish witnesses sign on it, magbinon beim mishabadi. We can go ahead and collect from it, from the chasim mishubadim, from encumbered property. I baholo yadi b'lemikri. But I will say, how could that be? We're assuming that the Jewish signatures do not know how to what? Do not know how to go ahead and read the shtar. The Gemara says, b'diyadi. The case over here is where what? Where they know how to read the shtar. They know how to read Persian. I have an exception. But one second, there's another problem, which is you need unforgeable script. I don't know if unforgeable is right. You need the shtar to be written in a way that it can't be forged, and that's not true over here. No, the case here is bedafitzan, where the document was treated with gallnut juice, and therefore again you can't forge it. But we also need, in order for a shtar to be kosher, so we'll say again, the shtar has to be written in a way where there's a final line of the shtar goes ahead and reviews the contents of the Shabbos. Remember, we had this earlier, that there is a final line in the shtar that says everything that is written in the shtar has been verified and correct, and that's not going to be present in the Persian shtar. Bidim ehader. I will say, so the case over here is where they wrote in the Persian shtar as well. Ve'elamai kamashmalon. So I will say, so again, so what's the chiddush then of this case? Remember, so very nice that the get is written in Persian, but if the witness is not a read Persian, and the get itself is, the document is treated so you can't tamper with it, and it chazers over the contents of the document in the last line, so what's the novelty in saying that the shtar is kosher? To which the Gemara says, the b'chol loshon kosher, is the novelty over here that documents can be written in any loshon? Is that the take-home message? Tanina, we learned that already. Get shekasvu ivris ve'idav yivanis. Yivanis ve'idav ivris kosher. Babas, we learned that already, right? If you have a get written in Hebrew, but the witness is ultimately, were Greek, or again, or signed in Greek, or again, the get is written in Greek, and the witness is signed in Hebrew, it's kosher. In other words, Babas, we've already established that documents can be written in any language. So what's the novelty? From that previous statement, I would have thought that the ability to write a shtar in any language is only when? Is only lemaisa again by gittin. But by shar shtaros, perhaps they have to be written in Hebrew. Kamashlan, the Gemara teaches me that what? That halacha lemaisa again, even by shar shtaros, a shtar can be written in any language. Rabbi say, we'll stop over here for today. Emir Tashem Yehuda is going to be giving the shir tomorrow morning at 8:15. In the, he can do it. Yeah, he'll finish. He'll get you there by Baruch Hu and Meretz Hashem. Right? So I'll just tell you a very brief thought on the parsha. Shmuel, can I borrow your chumash? Do you have your chumash here?